Accession number 20510, Reel 7.
Oh, yes.
For Saturday Night Dance.
Right, okay. Right, this is Peter Harbour, Reel 7. So, you remained a reservist then for...
Yes, that would be classed as I suppose I am now. I've never said I'm not. Never had a notification to say I'm not.
Did anyone ask you to join the TA?
No.
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 Okay. What was it like going back to civilian life?
Well, it was quite alright with me because my original firm, I think they would have had me back, but they wanted me to go to Birmingham and do a refresher course for 6 months. And I said, well, I've been away 6 years. I don't think I should go away for another 6 months. And instead of going back to the old firm, I went and got a job with a one-man band. And I was very happy there. All the work was handwork and very interesting. And we didn't have a machine on the place. And I stayed with him until he died, and I took over the business.
How did you feel about being an old soldier at that age?
Well, when I was at Lilworth, or when I was home.
When you were home.
I was very proud to talk about it, quite honest. I only talked about being a sergeant, and I got up to a sergeant. That was you boast about, isn't it? Whatever rank you can get up to. And... I mean, being in the village, a local, small country village, everyone knew you. You didn't have to say what you'd been. You didn't need to talk about it. I mean, the family got a certain amount of information out of you before you came home. And I mean, if you went into the beginning of the village, if you came into a village as a stranger in those days, before you got to the middle of the village, the windows were open at the other end. Bush Telegraph. So there was no need to have talked about it, but because everyone knew.
Did people, perhaps people you knew or your family, did they treat you differently now that you've come back?
No, I don't think so. I was still the odd one out in the family, middle boy of the five. Which I didn't mind. My mother always said, I don't mind Peter, she used to say. He never tells me off. He's so quiet. I can always ask him to do anything. Whereas with the others, they'd, you know, perhaps it was the army in training, perhaps. I don't know.
So what do you think, I mean, you're looking back a lot of years now, what have been the mental and physical effects of war on you?
I think it made me a man of me. Mentally, I don't think it's done anything. I think it would have done if I'd thought about it and brought everything to the fore, but I think I put it at the back of my mind. And mentally, I don't think it made any effect on me at all. Made me wiser. And a little bit more understanding, probably.
What about the physical effects?
Well, the physical effect, unfortunately, it took its effect on me when I got blown up. And where I'd have liked to have carried on with the football as a professional, I think that stopped me, slowed me down. All right, I played good football. I played for Worcester City and Malvern Town, captain Malvern Town, a couple of times. But there's a difference in league football and what I call county football. And, I mean, I played, when I was in the army, I was playing with 9 professionals. There were only 2 of us civilians. So I must have been pretty useful.
What are the physical effects you have now of being blown up?
Well, because I had to stop work 15 years ago, up until then I'd been very active, work-wise, and also involved with charity work. And when I got, I had to stop because I had prostate cancer. It slowed me down, and therefore it went to the weakest point of me, which was my back. And I do suffer with my back, which goes into my hips. And I think it has stopped me doing things now. For the last 4 or 5 years, definitely. But it started back 15 years ago when I stopped being active. I've tried to be a fitness fanatic in my own way. For example, over there's a photograph if you'd like to look at it. On the weekend of my 59th birthday, I took part. 69th birthday. I took part in a cycle ride from London to Paris. And I hadn't written before since I was a teenager. Right, well, when I was about 30 when I finished cycling. And I took for the cause, for the leukemia research that I am involved with.
Did you make it to Paris?
I made it. We progged a few times, but I was the granddaddy of them. And that was the weekend before my 69th birthday. Had to be. Yeah, because that was in 1983, wasn't it? 84. Wait a minute. Yeah, must have been.
Can we just go back to you being evacuated from France after you'd been blown up? I mean, what do you remember of that? I mean, do you remember being blown up?
I remember seeing the trench next to me and getting the men, calling the men to help, for help, but that's all, until I woke up in the ambulance.
Where was the ambulance then?
Well, it was in transit, wasn't it?
Yeah, where, I mean, they were France?
Oh, in Holland.
In Holland, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Rasdell, who was one of my troop, he was in the next, on the next bunk in the ambulance, and he was still alive, and he was saying, "I can't see, Pete. I can't see. Is that you, Pete?" He could say, and I say, "Yeah." He said, "I can't see." He said, "Am I going to be all right?" And I was talking back to him, said, "You'll be all right." Forget his Christian name now, but his name was Rastel, and I knew he wouldn't make it. He got two legs off, and he was blind, and he was dead before he got to Antwerp, before the ambulance finished. But you have to encourage them, don't you? And when I came back and finished up at Worcester Royal, I mean, you can always see worse off people off than yourself. I mean, there was a ginger-headed Scotsman there, he got two legs off. He was as cheerful as anyone could be. You know, there was always people around you worse off than yourself. And I still feel that today. I look at it that way. That's my outlook on life.
What were your injuries initially?
Well, shrapnel in the middle of the back. About 4 or 5 lumps of shrapnel on it. And when I had my back troubles after my prostate, well, it was during the prostate troubles, I think, I had to make x-rays, and the girl who was taking the x-rays kept coming back and wanting more, and she said, "Well, normally," she said, "we only have about 6 or 7, and this is the 11th. She said, "Have you been x-rayed before?" And this was back 15 years ago, 14 years ago, and I said, "Well, not lately," I said. She said, "Well, have you been?" I said, "Yes, I have been, back in 1944. And I had to explain what that was about for, and she went back and deck anymore, did they? I got bits of metal floating around in my like little specks. I couldn't make out what they were, so I must have bits of metal floating about me now.
Do you know what medical treatment you had? I mean, did you have treatment while you were being evacuated? Did they have drips up or...?
I don't remember, quite honestly. I honestly don't remember.
Was it relatively comfortable, sort of shipping back, or was it very arduous?
Well, what I can remember, I mean, I accepted it, and I didn't moan. I didn't feel I had to moan about it. I mean, naturally, you're in pain, weren't you? Otherwise, you wouldn't be like it. But some people have higher pain barriers than others, don't they? And I don't know what pain barrier I got, but I'm always pretty cheerful.
What was it like when you got to Worcester Royal Infirmary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was the hospital like then?
Very strict. The sister there was a Sister Hooper, and she was a real old battle axe. And I say she was as good as any doctor. And the nurses used to come in the morning, and as soon as she walked in that ward, they were on their knees, wherever they were, and they said a prayer. Didn't matter where they were, either side of a bed, or, and they had to say a prayer. But she was good as gold to me.
Did you get any sort of, you know, extra comforts or anything because you were a wounded soldier? You know, how were you treated by the nurses and the doctors?
No, I don't think we were treated any different. I mean, we're all wounded. We're soldiers, and I mean, we're all respected for what we'd be done, I think. You know, the only advantage we didn't actually have it because of me. But when we eventually got on my feet and were in the blue, you know, the wounded uniform was blue uniform outfit. And we used to walk uptown and we felt a bit thirsty, so we could have a cup of tea. So I said, well, someone said, let's go in the white, we were by the white tea rooms then. And I knew, of course, I knew the town, didn't I? And I said, it's expensive in there. Anyway, we went in there, and I think it was four or five of us sat around a table, and the waitress came along, and what would you like? And we ordered, said we always have a cup of tea. Would you like some cakes? And I think, and so she came back with a big tray of plates of cakes, and it's going to cost us something. And when we finished, we asked for the bill and said, oh, you go up to the lady on the payout and she'll sort you out. So we went up there and she said, have you had enough? And we said yes. And they said, well, that's all right then, you carry on. And she didn't know I was a Worcester lad. But I got to know them after I was demobbed. I knew one or two of them. I used to do some work in there in the cabinet side. So I got to know them in there. And I thanked them for it, you know, because they were still the same management.
So you went on to Compalesce?
Yes, so I went from there to Malvern, to a place called Henwick House, which is up on the, alongside the river, this side of the river.
What was that like? Was that all service people?
Yes, it was. It was originally a nursing home, but they turned it into a military. And the sister there was a friend of mine. So I was lucky to be there. So, and she kept me, send me home in a taxi every afternoon. And funny enough, the one of the nurses there turned out, in the end, to be my sister's mother-in-law. Which I knew them very well because they were a parish, lived in the parish, you see. So it was quite home for me. And from there I was transferred to Malvern, where they turned Hugh Sumner School into a convalescent home. And that's where I went back to Scatrick Camp.
When you were in hospital and convalescing, Were you worried about getting fit and getting back? I mean, you wanted to get back.
Well, naturally. I mean, I've always been like that. I mean, you can have an example of when I was at my bypass 2.5 years ago. I mean, I was in intensive care for 5 days. I didn't know what was happening to me. And the first words I heard there was, if we don't get him round soon, we should lose him. So it brought me to life, didn't it? And I said, what day is it? And they said, Friday. And I said, so I must have dropped off to sleep again. I woke up and I said to someone, what day is it? They said, Friday. I said, it can't be Friday. It was Friday yesterday. And every day these physios came to me and they say, now you've got to start walking. Once you get out of bed and start walking. I got out of bed, but I couldn't walk. And they say, you must walk. And they put me in the ward, main ward, 2 days after I came round. On the Tuesday, I said, look. I said, if I could walk, I could walk. I would walk. I said, I want to walk more than you do, myself. Anyway, the doctors came round and they took my pulse and they went over there and said, I can't feel anything. And the one on this side said, God, it's all over the place. So I had to go and have a shock treatment of it. My heart was on. And I did walk the next day. But Friday I walked to the toilet and I came back and the girl over with the scales said, would you mind sitting on the scales, Peter? And I was feeling that my head was going to go round and round. And I said, yeah, but I don't feel too good. So I went under my scale and I don't know whether I reached the bed or not, but I woke up on the bed wet through. And the doctors came round, they hadn't stabilised my heart, didn't they, properly?
Let's get back to the war again.
Sorry, Bet, I've gone off the... What I was going to say is that I was so insistent on walking,
yeah,
that is my aim is to get back into fitness again.
Because you were paralysed, weren't you?
Yes, yeah.
So how much sort of physio and therapy did you have to get you walking again then?
I don't think we had a lot in at that time. I don't think physios were so popular in those days like they are today. No doubt we were helped and...
Did you have an operation to remove the shrapnel from your back?
Well, I think they couldn't have been very deep, but the one was about 1/2 inch from the spine.
Mm.
And I think, or very close to the spine, I mean, it might have been closer. But... And I think that's where the damage was done to me.
What did you think of the medical treatment you received then?
Oh, very good. I've never complained of any of the medical treatment I've had all the time I've gone to hospital.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think there's a difference now to what there was in those days. And there was more control over it, more... Well, I suppose it was... more disciplined than what it is today. I get on very well these days. I'm not complaining, but in those days, with a sister and a matron running a hospital, it's far better than it is today.
I've come to the end of my questions. Are there any other anecdotes or observations you want to make about your life in the army?
Well, I'm only proud to be in the 53rd Regiment.
Are you still in touch with the regiment now?
Yes, we have we didn't, the first time we haven't had a reunion for probably 40 years. Because they were invited over to Holland on the days month we normally book. And unfortunately I wasn't well enough to attend there. Actually I'm a committee member of the association. We don't get together much in between. But this might be our life. We have one this year. It'll probably be our last year because there were only about 25 members last meeting we had, and every year we get one or two less. So we're thinking of calling it a day this year.
What do you get out of the reunions?
We're like old friends meeting up. Have a talk and a drink. Well, I don't drink, but I mean, the lads love a drink. And we have a dinner and get together. Everyone knows each other. I usually run the raffle and just do the necessary. But yes, and I said about my old officer, Peter Upton. He's one that comes now. He's one of the regulars that have continued to come. And we're great friends. I remember going down to the to Lord's cricket ground when Worcestershire played there. And I was sat back up in the stand and I saw this gentleman walk across the alleyway. No, he was going up the alleyway. And I said to the fellow next to me, I was 2 seats in from the end of the row, and I said, when that fellow comes back, will you mind me coming by you? And he came back and stood by the entrance until the over was over, and then he walked us. I made a dash there, and I said, Peter. And it was Peter Upton, my troop officer. And we've been kept in touch.
Have you been back to where you were blown up?
Well, not knowing exactly where I was blown up, but I went very close to it. I've been back to Holland about 4 times. In each case, it's places that I didn't reach. Stoutenbosch is one, or Den Bosch if you like to short, and a small town called Overdinkle. No, a little village called Overdinkle. It's right on the border of Germany. And I've been there twice, and I've been to Stoutenbosch 3 times, I think. And the last one's my, we were put up in private hostesses, and it's a wonderful people there. For example, I was out of town when I was due to pick up my not the money, you know.
Pension.
No, not pension. The girders.
Yes.
And I was supposed to call in the bank to pick up the girders and that, and my travelling checks. And I was too late. So I changed some cash at the airport. I'd still got the same money on a Thursday. It was a Saturday we went over there. I didn't spend a penny. And when I did spend, it was for a cup of tea on the boat. It was to pay for a cup of tea for my friends. They were so good over there. They didn't, if you went to buy them something, they'd have to buy something back in exchange. And I could have gone out without a penny in my pocket.
Was it moving, revisiting?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, that you'll read that paper that I showed you there. That gives you an idea. That was just one instance that happened. To me, I mean, the other regiment fellas in the regiment had their own reasons for being emotional. But I can't speak too highly of the Dutch people.
End of reel 7.
Time the viewer can experience the closest thing possible to actually being that eagle. Jane O'Brien, BBC News.
And you can see much more of that. The Predators starts tomorrow night on BBC One at 1:30.